Living Well. Good morning, Dr. Cheryl Wilson. How are you?
Yeah, doing very well. Thank you for asking.
That's good. Now, we're going to continue speaking about concussion, because this was a very popular topic last week.
Was it? Oh, that's good to know, because, you know, for the longest time, people would just say, rung his bell, or she's had a knock to the head, and they didn't give it the respect that it deserved, which I always amazes me because, you know, it is the brain after all. In fact, when I used to work with ice hockey team in Canada, they changed coaches, and I was talking with a new coach about how I would manage head injuries. And he told me he was going to handle them, and I didn't make decisions. And I notified the owners that I was handing in my resignation, and I got a call at midnight that night that said they fired the coach because they cared about the players. And there's no game or no amount of money that is ever worth someone's life or the function of their brain. And so I stayed with that organization, and they really supported their athletes. They were fantastic. And that's what I'm going to talk about. I'm just going to do a little refresher, but I'm going to talk about getting back into life and when it's safe to go back to sport. Sound like a fair game plan, Anthony?
Yep, let's do it.
Beautiful. So, you know, I think we're all familiar, a knock to the head, whether it's an elbow or a knee or you hit the ground. But the other thing that a lot of people don't know, it is the deceleration torsion. So you don't even have to hit your head to have a concussion. If you're going at some degree of velocity and get stopped suddenly and you have to, in the car, you got the seatbelts that stop you from flying out the window. Well, you know, we don't have seatbelts for our brains, unfortunately, and so that can bank off the front of our skull and bruise the bones or bruise the brain that way, or just straight a torsional, having a twist to it, can sort of shear and pull some of the neurons so that they're injured from being overstretched. And a reminder, someone does not have to lose consciousness for this to be a serious head injury. That is a myth and a fallacy. Of course, having loss of consciousness, you have to have immediate care and someone to monitor their airway and make sure they're breathing and support them. And you don't have to have a headache. Most times when I manage head injuries, and I handled a fair few of them with ice hockey, I have to say, I don't remember any of them really having head injuries at the time of the injury. They certainly did the next day. There's no doubt about it. But these don't factor in the severity. If you see someone that look, you know, you see them take a hit and they go limp, that person's off the field and they're being assessed and they don't go back on. If they're addled and their teammates are saying, like, they don't know the player or something like that, they're off the field and they do not go back on, because there's something called second impact syndrome, in which it takes less of a hit to cause more of a damage in the brain. And there's a history where people go back to sport too soon, as in the same game, or a few days later, and they just stop suddenly or have a little bit of a knock. And, you know, within an hour, they're dead. So we don't want that for anybody. There is no amount of money and no game more important enough than someone's life. And you can tell I've said that a few million times to my athletes. There's this great thing that they have here in Australia called SCAT-5. And that is a form that you can do at baseline. I'd really recommend that you do it at baseline for your athletes if you've got a contact sport, because you want to be able to know what their brain does normally. And then if they do have a head injury, you have something to compare it with. Now, rarely do I have someone come in to see me with a head injury that I have a baseline, because that just doesn't happen. But I've done this with car accidents, truck accidents, things like that. It doesn't have to be sport for it to be a head injury. And SCAT, aside from, you know, SCAT, boop, babbity, beep, 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 as you can do so well, or critter SCAT, this is sports concussion assessment tool. And it, you know, you don't have to play sport to do it. So it's going to do things like quantify what happened at the time of the injury, how confused they are and orientated, what they can remember, It tests their memory in a variety of ways. It tests their coordination in a variety of ways. And it's a way to monitor how they're recovering, as well as a confirmation they go on the field. But I will reemphasize again, even if they ace that and they're spanking it, do not put them back on the field for that day. There's just no game that's ever worth it. So now return to sport. So once someone is sign and symptom free, as in they're no longer tired all the time, they're not needing to sleep more, they've any sort of memory loss, they might not remember the hit, that may never come back, but you can tell them stuff and they remember it, they're doing okay at work and school and things like that, they're back to their usual personality, they don't have a headache, they're feeling themselves, you do not want to put them straight into the game. You want to put them in a safe environment, such as a stationary bike, and increase their heart rate. So, and then you get it up to, you want your goal is you want to have them at about maximum and hit them really hard for about 10 minutes. See if any of the symptoms come back. If they do, as soon as they do, you stop the bike ride and they wait another week. Very common that they'll get symptoms again because our brain's pretty miraculous. And as we say, we usually don't use all of it in one go. So we have to stress it a little bit to sometimes see that that's not working fully. When you've got someone that can get on the bike and you hammer them hard at full all-out capacity for 10 minutes, they don't have symptoms, then I get them into a non-contact practice. Make sure no symptoms come back with that one. And then they're a contact practice. No symptoms before they go back into a game. So this is going to vary from person to person, and it'll vary how long it takes them to get back. And I keep saying it doesn't matter what the game is and whether it's a finals. I'm telling you, you won't make next year's finals if you're dead today. And I have had these arguments with coaches and players and actually parents, can you imagine? I refused to put one of my players back on the ice because he had a head injury, but the parents wanted him there. It was the weirdest conversation I think I've had. If someone keeps getting some head injuries, you can get a post-concussion syndrome. And I have retired two people, one in gridiron football and another in ice hockey, where they just could not play any contact sports anymore. They'd had two or three concussions, and their ability to think through things after a month was still damaged. They just, for whatever reason, are getting hit hard, and their brain isn't dispersing the force as well as we could have, and they're getting head injuries, and there's just nothing to be gained in continuing a career or a recreational in a contact sport because they're just going to get worse and worse. And as we talked about before, there's also growing evidence that continued small assaults to the brain that may not even come as a full concussion add up through the years, because remember I said you can still have brain injury and walk around feeling like you're okay. So we're looking at long term as well. So it's a lot to take on when you're thinking about taking a contact sport, to be honest. But if ever in doubt, you know, when someone's been hit or they've got any signs of a head injury, they're straight off to the A&E. If you're worried that they can't keep their consciousness that they're going under, then it's 000. If there's any suggestion that there's a neck injury, then you mobilize them and call 000. So if they're down on the ground, just call 000. If they come up and they're walking around or something like that and they're addled, then keep them absolutely still and then get them off to the hospital as soon as you can. But if you're worried in any way, 000. And then follow up with a GP or follow up with a doctor that's been trained in concussion return to sport and management. Everything I'm talking to you about here, I learned as an athletic therapist taking care of ice hockey players and gridiron players. I wasn't taught this. I had the management of it in medical school. So you have to take a little bit of extra time to figure out how to manage them. So it's really important that you get someone that knows about return to sport and activity when it comes to head injuries. How's that?
Oh, there you go. Look, I think we've summed it up. Well, you have.
Take care of your brain. You only get one, man.
Yeah, well, that's it. You only got one. You want to look after it.
Yep.
All right. Some great advice and some good information there this morning. Living Well, Dr. Cheryl Wilson. Thank you. You have a great weekend, a ripper week. We'll check in next Friday. Any idea what we're going to chat about?
I don't. This listen, I'm doing a 3-day online conference in musculoskeletal medicine. So let me have over the next 3 days, I suspect they'll pick up a couple of topics that I can have a chat about over the next few days. But again, if anybody's listening, get hold of Anthony and he'll with a topic and send it my way, and I'm happy to chat about it.
Yeah, absolutely. 5rm.com.au if you've got a topic for us. All right, we'll chat next Friday.